The word for today is patience. It is to live with an unhurried spirit through your life, through your tasks, in particular with people. Now, before you turn this off, before you say, I've got too much to do, I already know about this, or it's probably going to be boring, take a deep breath. Patience is part of the fruit of the spirit. We're looking now at how do we learn to live in a world with lots of technology in ways that enable us to become better people and to live better lives and to grow the fruit of the spirit, as Jay Kim writes about in his book. And people often misunderstand patience. Leaders in particular will think, I don't want to be patient, because they confuse patience with lack of urgency or lack of intensity or passivity or a refusal to hold people accountable or tolerating what should not be tolerated. Patience is none of those things. Patience is the ability to live with calmness and poise in the face of obstacles and delay. It's the ability to experience frustration and continue to move forward, living out of my values and not out of reactivity. And of course, patience comes from God. God, Peter says, is very patient, not wanting anybody to perish. And so we want that from him. Now, here's the question for you today. Because we all know when we think about people in our lives, if you're a parent and you have a child, or you think about when you were a kid and you had parents or a coach or a teacher, how important patience is in human relationships, including in the business world. I think about a leader where he was seeking to move the company forward, but it was going to take a period of time. And then the question was, would the board have the appropriate patience to wait, to be willing to wait the appropriate amount of time, to honor commitments? Everybody needs patience. Question is the world of technology helping you, as you experience it, to become a more patient person? Or is it increasing your impatience quotient? So I want to read a little bit, in particular from John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I'll cite a couple other folks just to look at the challenge that technology is posing for us as we seek to become people of love and joy and peace and also patience. Here's a remarkable statistic that John Mark talks about. Before Thomas Edison, light, what a good gift light is for us. But before Edison, the average person slept 11 hours a night. John Mark writes, I used to read biographies of great men and women from history who got up to pray at 4 in the morning, St. Teresa of Avila, John Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, and I would think, wow, they're way more serious about Jesus than I am. True, but then I realized, they went to bed at 7 o'clock. After 9 hours of sleep, what else was there to do? Now, at least in the U.S., we're down to about 7 hours as the median number of hours of sleep tonight. That's 2.5 hours less sleep than just a century ago. Is it any wonder that we're exhausted all the time? It's very striking. The term time-saving only got created 100 or so years ago. James Glick writes about this in his book that's simply called Faster. And yet with all of our time-saving devices and technology, we have no sense that we have been saving time. And of course, time cannot be saved. Time is a gift. Part of patience is realizing that I'm a creature, not the creator. Pete Scazzaro's got this wonderful line John Mark cites, that we discover the will of God for our lives in our limitations. I am not God. I am not the master of time. John Mark goes on, a recent study found that the average iPhone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times a day. What would my life be like if I touched the mind of God, the heart of God, or allowed God's spirit to touch me 2,617 times a day? Always before me, the psalmist says, I set you, O Lord. We got to get out more. We got to get out of the compulsion for speed and impatience of our own little lives and minds and into the kingdom of God. Similar study found that just being in the same room as our phones, even if they are turned off, will reduce someone's working memory and problem-solving skills. Translation, they make us dumber. As one summary of the report put it, if you grow dependent on your smartphone, it becomes a magical device that silently shouts your name at your brain at all times. Now, technology has been involved in this kind of acceleration of the human spirit in a negative way for quite a long time. Glick, in his book called Faster, writes about the elevator. Have you ever been on an elevator and you've seen that word Otis elevator? A guy named Otis was the guy who started elevators. When they were first used in, I don't know when it was, over 100 years ago, initially they would travel at the rate of 8 inches per second. Now, Glick writes, there are elevators that travel more, that climb more than 40 feet a second. That's like a pretty good climb rate for a jet. And engineers who work with elevators will talk about how people experience something called door dwell. When we push the button for the elevator to come, we're willing to wait about 15 seconds. Then you get much more than that, and people become what the engineers call antsy. Isn't that interesting? Ants are actually very steady, very patient creatures, but we somehow project ourselves onto them and say we're getting antsy when we have to wait too long. And so people start pushing that button, even though we all know there is, you know, no neurological system in the elevator world where an elevator says to itself, oh man, somebody is pushing for me to come to the second floor with urgency and desperation, so I must go there quicker. We just push it, even though we know it's not doing a thing. And then you get onto the elevator, and there's another little button that's the door close button. Glick writes, the paint wears off the door close button faster than any other button on the elevator. Many building managers actually disable the door close button because they don't want there to be a problem. But we push that one really fast. Then comes the great moral test. Somebody down the hallway sees that the elevator is on the floor and they're in a hurry. And so they start running towards it. Well, I put my arm in there and make the elevator wait so that they could get on. What would the Good Samaritan do? What would Jesus do if somebody wanted to get on his elevator? As you may know, back in the day, elevators used to be operated by human beings, and Otis had that stop because he said, a lot of time is lost when people refuse to hurry. He said, if we get rid of the elevator operators so it's just a machine and it can run the elevator more quickly, people will soon learn to move more promptly. And boy, have we learned. One more note from John Mark. We live in what's often called the attention economy, and technology increasingly demands our attention while it diminishes our capacity to focus our attention, to keep our mind stayed on to God. Cue a terrifying trend. Our attention span is dropping with each passing year. In 2000, before the digital revolution, it was 12 seconds, so it's not like we had a lot of wiggle room. But since then, it's dropped to 8 seconds. To put things in perspective, a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. That's right. We are losing to goldfish. We don't need faster. We don't need more time. We think we can somehow leverage technology. Steve Wright's old line was, I put my instant coffee in my microwave oven and almost went backwards in time. We cannot go backwards in time. Time is a gift. Time is simply another word for life. And I have this moment right now. You have this moment, and it's a gift from God. And I'm a limited, finite person, and I'm called to live with an unhurried spirit. Dallas Willard used to talk about there's a difference between busy. Busyness is an outer condition of the body to have many things to do. Jesus was often quite busy. Hurry is a condition of the spirit. It is to be preoccupied and anxious and unable to be deeply present with God in this moment, with you in this moment. And nothing of the kingdom of God can be done with a hurried spirit. It's so interesting that these character qualities that we're talking about, that Paul invites us into, are the fruit of the Spirit. You can't hurry fruit. God just created it that way. It takes time to mature. And it is that way with what we're talking about in particular today. I was thinking, if you were going to try to describe love, characterize love for somebody, how would you do that? Where would you start? In the greatest description, the most cited, quoted, memorized, set to music, read at weddings description of love of all time, the great chapter I love that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 13. He talks about how if I had the gift of tongues and I could speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but had not love, I'd just be a clanging god or a clashing cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and could fathom all mysteries and knowledge and the gift of faith so that I could move mountains but didn't have love, I would be nothing. If I gave everything that I had away and even gave my body for the sake of the poor, or even to be burned, to be destroyed, but did not have love, I would gain nothing. And then here it is, wait for it. Love is patient. So today, find the will of God. Let's do this in our limitations. And whatever is happening, in the moments when I am in the car, when I'm having a conversation with another human being, when I have an email to write, when I have things on my to-do list to get done, when I am sharing food with another person, when I'm on the telephone with somebody, when I'm on the telephone with an organization, and they do that wonderful little spiritual discipline practice called putting me on hold. Just for today, love is patient. Love is patient. Doesn't mean it's passive. Doesn't mean it's inactive. Doesn't mean that it tolerates what it should not. Doesn't mean that it refuses to hold people accountable. It is calm and poised in the face of obstacles. It does not vent or get reactive in the face of frustrations. It is a long obedience in the same direction. We'll talk about that more later. We got to get out more.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future teaching from John. You might also want to visit our website, becomenew.com, to access our full library of teaching or to sign up for the emails that go along with each video. Personally, my favorite way to receive these videos is by text. We will send you a text message every weekday morning with the title of that day's video and the link to the video. And that's it. You can just text the word become to the number 855-888-0444 to receive those texts. If you have a prayer request, there is a group of us who meet every weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. You can send us your request at the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the will is transformed by experience, not merely information. So we hope you get out more. See you next time.